Yudav, Wednesday the 6th of August, Rabbi Nachum Zeltzer, setting the stage for the redemption.
Morning everybody. Good to be back. 3 times Chazakah, they say. Here we are, time number 3. So, the shiur comes a little bit after. Had breakfast, thank you. The Torah relates a very painful and perplexing dialogue between Yaakov and Rachel. Okay, here we go. Rachel sees that she hasn't born any children to Yaakov Avinu, and she becomes envious of her sister Leah, which we can understand, especially after she was so much a nefesh for her sister. And what happens? She says, she comes to Yaakov and she says, she makes what seems to be an irrational taina, a woman like taina. She says to him, give me children, if not I am dead. Right? And what does Yaakov say back to Rachel? Yaakov says to her, Asachas al kemanoichi, am I God? What do you want from me? Now, Yaakov's taina, his anger flares at Rachel. He gets upset at her for saying such an irrational taina. And he says to her, am I instead of God who has withhold of you the fruit of the womb? What do you want from me? Now, Rachel's remarks are obviously the outburst from a woman who's in emotional distress. She's upset. She looks at, she was so moist and nervous for her sister. She gave us, she brings her sister into her house. And now her sister has all these children. And she has no children. She's very upset. And you can understand that, right? It's coming from the pain. That's where this pain is coming from. It's coming from pain. In fact, it's an emotional eruption. That's what's coming on. She has a volcano. We can understand that. We can sympathize with her pain. On the other hand, it's very hard to understand Yaakov's biting, sharp remark. What kind of an answer is that to this woman? She sees she's in pain. And it's very hard to understand. It defies comprehension how he answers her with such anger. How does he respond in such an unfeeling way? So, the Midrash, recorded by the Ramban, says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Aviru a Musa Shmuz for doing this. And he says to him as follows, Kach, oinin esam ukois, is this the way you talk to someone who's oppressed? Is this the way you address someone in pain? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov Avinu. He comes to him with tiny. He says, how can you talk to Rachel Imenu in such a way? And then Hashem says the following line to him. Upon your life, Yaakov Avinu, your sons will stand before her son. The day will come when the sons of Yaakov Avinu will stand in fear before Yosef, the son of Rachel. This conversation and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Musa Shmuz to Yaakov Avinu leave us with a number of unanswered questions. If Hashem has a taina on the way Yaakov dealt with the situation, should he not tell Yaakov what to do differently? Right? If you give Musa to somebody, you want him to act differently, then tell him what you want him to do. You don't like the way he spoke to this woman, then tell him how. This is the way you should speak. This is the way you should speak to a woman in distress. Should there not be some good that emerges from this conversation? Tell us what to do, so we know for the future how to talk to somebody when the person's in pain. What do these psukim, this conversation, what message is it for us to take out? So let's shift the scene 1,000 years later. The destruction of the first place of Mikdash is imminent. In Shemayim, there's going to be a court case taking place. In the heavenly courtroom, the drama is intense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the Jewish people. This brings together Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, brings together Navi Yirmiyah. Everybody's going to come together to try and save Klal Yisrael from what's happening. And the Midrash records in detail the defense that happens. Each of our patriarchs attempts to defend Klal Yisrael from what's happening. Avram Avinu gets up and he says, and I'm quoting, Hashem, I brought mankind to know you. Hashem says, not good enough, sorry. Yitzchak gets up and he says, I was willing to be a korban on the Mizbeach. How many people do you know who are willing to do that? Therefore, I should be able to be a defense attorney for the Jewish people. Hashem says, sorry, not good enough. Yaakov describes all the fighting he had to do with Esav and with Lavan, and he had such a hard life, and Hashem says, sorry, not good enough. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks of the journey through the desert and how he had to take care of Klal Yisrael. Sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns them down, each in turn, not impressed, and he says, no, sorry. And suddenly, the Midrash describes, at that moment, Rachel jumps before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and presents her plea on behalf of Klal Yisrael. She reminds HaKadosh Baruch, what does she say to him? She says, Hashem, why are you upset at the Jewish people? Because you say they brought a tzelem into the Eichal. I did the same thing. I brought my sister into my own house. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Rachli Meinu redemption for the Jewish people. But let's try to give another possible reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe had no choice but to answer Rachli Meinu in the affirmative. What am I talking about? It's a very interesting insight over here. Okay, let's try to imagine the scene once again. Rachli Meinu, Shemayim, she approaches the heavenly throne and cries on behalf of her children. And Yirmiyah paints a powerful portrait of the moment. A voice is heard on high, Kol Barman Ishma, wailing, bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be consoled for her children, for they are gone. What is Rachel in effect saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment? Give me my children. If not, I am dead. When did she say those words? She said them to Yaakov Avinu, didn't she? Same words, the same message. What she said to Yaakov Avinu 1,000 years before, now she's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me my children, if not, I am dead. That's what she said to Yaakov. And she's refusing to be consoled, just like she was refusing to be consoled by Yaakov Avinu. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How will Hashem answer? How will he respond? Yaakov is now standing there on the side, waiting to see what Hashem is going to say to Rachel. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quote unquote in a catch 22 over here. Think about it, right? If he tells Rachel, I'm truly sorry, my dear, I can't help you, right? Your children have sinned. Klai Yisrael has done too many avers, right? They can no longer remain alive to transgress. Will Hashem present her with a list of all the avers Klai Yisrael did? If Hashem does, what's Yaakov going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kach? Me'unin esa? This is the way you answer to an oppressed woman? Kach? Oinin la me'uka? That's what you say? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, what, am I God? Yes! Right? Yaakov says, am I Hashem to give you children? Hashem's going to say, am I Hashem to save your children? Yes, you are Hashem. Who else? Yes, you have to save. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds himself in a kind of a tricky position over here. What's he going to say? Right? And he made, to make it even stronger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put himself in the situation because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who gave Yaakov Musar 1,000 years before. So now he can't say that. He's took Yaakov to task for turning her down. What, he's going to turn her down himself now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stuck. He cannot deny a woman in distress. He must comfort her. He must console her. He must ease the pain. He must give succor to this woman. The great promise to Rachel that resounds across the centuries comes out right now, at this moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, we can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stuck, but it's very interesting because we see a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzem has to do. He's not going to give Yaakov Musa and then he's going to break his own Musa. He's not going to do that. If he gave Yaakov Musa, he has to live it, you know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thus says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Rachel Imenu right afterwards. He says to her, restrain, Mini kalech mi bechi, menach mi dima, keishachal fulasech, mushal varm legvulech, restrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears, for there is reward for your accomplishment. The word of Hashem and your children will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your children will return to their border. This is all a quote from Yirmiyah. Okay. The fact is, millions of Jewish people have returned to Eretz Yisrael. If one wants to look for perhaps the greatest miracle in the last 1,000 years, it wouldn't be far-fetched to say the fact that there's more Jews today living in Eretz Yisrael than in the rest of the world. You could say that's a tremendous miracle. That could be one of the greatest, if not the greatest miracles. And again, not from a Tzioni perspective necessarily, but the fact that there's more Jews living, it's nothing to do with it. The Jewish people have come back to Eretz Yisrael, however you want to look at it. It's not, you know, how do we look at it? It's a miracle. This is a response to Rachel Imenu. We can't ignore it, right? When the Ramban came to Eretz Yisrael, he found, what, four Jews in Yerushalayim. Ibn Ezra came, you know, Rav Nachman. Yeah. When they all came to Eretz Yisrael, they found a few Jews, a couple Jews, a few hundred Jews. If you would imagine the scene today where Rabbi Akiva is standing under the bridge in the beginning of Yerushalayim, he's standing there and there's a mist over him. And suddenly the mist lifts. Rabbi Akiva looks around. Rabbi Akiva, who stood on Har Tzoifim and looked at the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everyone else was crying. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. And they say to him, "Why are you laughing?" And he says, "Why are you crying?" And they say, "What do you mean? Look, there's a fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim." And Rabbi Akiva says, "That's why I'm laughing." And they say, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, if that Nevuah came true, then this Nevuah will come true." And Rabbi Akiva, standing there under the heart-shaped bridge, and he looks, and they all look at him, and the mist lifts, and Rabbi Akiva looks around at the traffic streaming in Yerushalayim, and at the millions of people on the buses and on the train, and he says, "Where am I?" And you say to him, "Rabbi Akiva, you're in Yerushalayim." He says, "What are you talking about? How could it be? Last time I looked at Yerushalayim, it was destroyed." They say, "No, it's rebuilt. You know, we're waiting for Mashiach to come, waiting for this Amigdash, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's been some progress since you were last here. There's millions of Jews living here. It's a fulfillment of a promise that Kadosh Baruch Hu made to Rachel Imenu. There's no shayla. And it all began over here at this moment when the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to answer to her in the affirmative based on the Musa Shemiz he gave Yaakov Avinu all those years before. So this all means that this painful exchange between Yaakov and Rachel is the harbinger, is the haschala of the Geula. This discussion, this masa umata, this back and forth between Yaakov and Rachel is what started it all. And there's an epilogue. On this tragic, fateful day in Shemayim, the day of the Chorban, Yaakov did not wait expectantly to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the sidelines. He wasn't waiting on the side to see whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to answer Rachel with a no. He knew it was going to happen. He wasn't waiting to see. He knew it was going to happen. He was privy to the drama in advance. He knew the answer. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Musar, he also had to tell him what he should do in the future. It's not like Hashem's going to tell him what, he's going to give him Musar, he's not going to tell him what to do. He must have told Yaakov Avinu, "This is what you're supposed to do." In which case, Yaakov Avinu is standing there, and he knows what Hashem is going to answer. He's not bowled over by surprise when he sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an answer in the affirmative. He knows how there can't be any other way. At that moment, a moment of Yaakov Avinu's great pain upon the death, the childbirth of Rachel, what happened? They're traveling along back to Eretz Yisrael, and on the side of the road, Rachel Imenu passes away, giving birth to Binyamin. And at that moment, Yaakov Avinu has to make the decision where she's going to be buried. She's going to be buried over there, Beis Lechem. He doesn't take her to Ephrat. He doesn't take her to Yerushalayim. He doesn't take her to Chevron, to Ras Machpelah. She is the one who ends up getting buried on the side of the road. In a very strange turn of events, because who is Rachel Imenu? Rachel Imenu is the wife that he loves the most. The one he wanted to build Klal Yisrael with. And what do we see? She's the one who gets buried on the side of the road. And by the way, this is going to be an issue of contention between Yosef at Tzadik and his father. How do we know this? We only find out later. But this is something which for years and years, Yosef at Tzadik is wondering, he's worrying about, he doesn't understand. My father loved my mother. He worked for 7 years and then another 7 years. And yet, when it came down to the most important part, who's going to be next to him for all eternity, who does he choose? Leah. She doesn't bury my mother, Maslach Pela. Where does he bury my mother? It's such a embarrassing place to be buried, on the side of the road, Beis Lechem. How come? And Yosef HaTzadik doesn't understand, and Yaakov doesn't explain it. He's not masbet to Yosef. We never find a conversation throughout their life where Yaakov is masbet to Yosef, his decision, the reasoning behind his decision, why he buried Rachel Imenu on the side of the road. And for years, Yosef is worrying and wondering why this happened. Now, at the end, we only learn about this later, towards the end of Yaakov's life. When he asks his son Yosef, he calls him to his bedside in Mitzrayim. After he came, they're reunited. And again, when they're reunited, we don't find any discussion. There's no record of a discussion between Yaakov and Yosef explaining how come Rachel was never buried where Yosef probably thought she should be buried. We don't find a discussion. We don't find an explanation. What happens? It's the end of his life. The end of his life, last moment, Yaakov Avinu is about, he's mamish heading towards the end. And he calls Yosef at Tzadik to his bedside. And he says to him, "I beg of you, please do kindness and truth with me. Please do not bury me in Mitzrayim. And when I die, take me out of Mitzrayim and bury me in Maris Machpelah in Eretz Yisrael." And so Yosef, what's he going to say? He's in a position to do it. he's the viceroy, and he later will go, and we know what happened. He ends up blackmailing Paro because he knew all the languages, and Paro only knew almost all the languages. And Yosef came to the top of the staircase and said to him, Manishma, Paro didn't know what he was talking about, and Yosef had an ability to blackmail Paro. And then he uses this blackmail ability to bury his father, and so we know he's going to say yes to Yaakov Avinu. Now, later, Yaakov enters his final illness. This is it. He's about to pass away. And he again calls Yosef to his side. And now, it's not just that he wants to ask him, please, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to explain. He's finally going to explain to his son why it happened all those years ago. And he says, I know you've been thinking about this. I know you've been wondering, and you're upset with me, how I buried your mother on the side of the road. I know you're upset, so let me take this moment, right before I pass away, to explain to you what happened. And then Yaakov Avinu quotes the pasuk. And when I came to Padan, Meisa alai Rachel, the Derech Kanan. She passed away on the way to Kanan. And I was on the way to Ephrat. I buried her on the road to Ephrat, which is Beis Lechem. So Yaakov Avinu says to his son on his deathbed. Now obviously what's going on over here is Yaakov wants to explain to Yosef what happened. He knows Yosef's upset and he wants to make him feel better. He says to his son, I buried your mother on the side of the road. And Rashi quotes Yaakov Avinu over there, and he says, he completes his remarks. And Yaakov says to his son the following, although I trouble you to do something, a very hard mission, I'm making you take me to Eretz Yisrael, although I did not do the same for your mother, says Yaakov Avinu, I am sorry. It's like the classic case of the father's lying on his deathbed, and he's apologizing to his son for something which he should. I didn't do it. And if you're going to say to me, it's okay, Abba. It's okay, Father. No doubt there was a problem. It was a technical problem. You couldn't bring my mother to Ephrat because it was raining, right? That's what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, don't worry about it. But I have to be honest, says Yaakov Avinu. It was the dry season. It wasn't raining. I have to be honest with you. That wasn't the reason. I'm not going to lie to you. It was the dry season. And I buried her there on the side of the road in Beis Lech. And he says to Yosef, I knew that you harbored hard feelings against me in your heart. I knew it. All these years. I knew it. And here comes the great revelation. Yaakov says to Yosef, but here, let me tell you, my son, I love you so much. Let me tell you the reason that this happened. You should know, the reason why I buried your mother on the side of the road is not because I chose to do so. It wasn't for my own volition. It wasn't because I said, I'm too lazy to bring her to Mazmat Feilah. I did it because the Kaddish Baruch Hu told me to do it. Hashem told me to bury her on the side of the road. Why? So that she should be there in time to aid her children when they are leaving Eretz Yisrael, when the Vizradin is going to put them into exile, then your mother is going to be waiting for them on the side of the road. At that moment, Rachel is going to come out, and she's going to seek mercy for the Jewish people, and that's why I did it on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem told me to do it, and that's why I did it. And I don't want you to think, I don't care about your mother, I don't want you to think, no, you should know, this is the story. This is the real reason.
Why couldn't he tell him earlier?
We'll get to you. Thus says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a voice is heard on high, wailing, bitter weeping. Rachel weeps for her children. She refused to be consoled for her children, for they are gone. Rachel is in fact saying, give me my children, otherwise I am dead. Precisely what she said to Yaakov. And Hashem's response to Rachel is the great divine promise that he makes to her. Thus says Hashem, Mini koyach mi bechi v'yanayach mi dima. Restrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears. For there is reward for your accomplishment, the word of Hashem, and they will return from the enemy's land. There is hope for your future, so says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and your children will return to their border. Rachel elicits from the Kaddish Baruch Hu an eternal commitment that neither Avram Yitzchak Yaakov nor Moshe Rabbeinu nor Yirmiyah is able to get, only Rachel Imenu. Yosef now knows his mother was buried on the side of the road because of a direct command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov of course has learned how one must respond to a woman in distress. Yosef also understands why his father did not tell him any earlier. Why? Thereby remove the thorn of their relationship. How come Yaakov didn't share with him this secret until now? Why did he wait till he was about to pass away? Yaakov is not allowed, does not want to reveal about the destruction and exile of the Jewish people until he has to do so. This is something which is going to be a very, very tragic event in the Jewish people's history, and Yaakov will not discuss it, will not talk about it until he absolutely must, which is on his deathbed when he has to explain to his son why he did what he did. Only when he no longer has any choice does he confide in Yosef the painful and tragic events to come and the great promise of consolation to Rachel Imenu. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Musa Shmuz to Yaakov sets the stage for the great return of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael at our time. We merit to see with our own eyes the fulfillment of, and they, your children, Rachel, will return from the enemy's land, and your children will return to their border, which we see happening today in our time, which Be'ez Hashem will be setting the stage for the ultimate Ge'ula. HaKadosh Baruch will give us back the Beis HaMikdash, Be'ez Hashem. And next year, we'll all be doing this, we'll be meeting in Yerushalayim, Be'ez Hashem, for a start day Torah way in Yerushalayim. Shkayach.